Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for another challenge recap, episode 10 of the challenge Double Agents in the Books. We have lost another agent. We've lost an Amber. Oh no. What are we going to do? We're going to break it all down with everything from this past week's episode. I'm excited to do so. Of course, I am your host, Matt, as always, with my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm good. I'm excited. Definitely a fun episode this week. We lost Amber M. Amber B lost her initial at the end now moving forward. So I am good. Excited to talk about the episode.
But we finally learned what it stood for. Amber Beast.
Oh, yeah, that was I don't know if this hall brawl really qualifies as a beast, but sure, let's go with that for now.
TJ says it's Amber Beast. We're going with Amber Beast, I guess. Yeah, what a hall brawl. Not to completely, you know, cover up everything, or not cover up, not to run over everything else that we have to talk about here today, but what a hall brawl. You always, you know, there was like a stretch of time where we did not get any hall brawls for a couple of seasons, and we, you know, got the return of it whenever that was, and we were like, oh my God, Hall Brawl is back. And now I think they've pretty much had it almost in every season since whenever that was. Maybe it was like World of the Wars, War of the Worlds 1 or 2. Now it's been back every season, and now it's to the point where we are seeing the Ambers go to duel in a Hall Brawl, and I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I feel like the Hall Brawl has become a staple. They know it's like really popular. Even just clips online will randomly blow up of Hall Brawl from years past, just periodically. So I think it's always a good bet to throw it in there for even just some social media resurgence in the future. And I like that, like, we got a men's Hall Brawl. We got a women's Hall Brawl this time. I'm glad that they finally decided to do that. You know, what was it? Season 34 was the first or something. So yeah. Still pretty recent. And even if this one did not go the best, I'm glad that we are getting them.
Tori and Anissa were talking about Hall Brawl on their podcast for this week's episode, and which is still funny to me because Anissa, like, how far out did she record these podcasts? She's filming another show right now. But regardless, they were talking about, you know, how scary it is to go into Hall Brawl. Both of them have done one. And I don't know. I think, like, for the first ever time, I sat and actually thought about, like, what I would feel if I was on the end of a Hall Brawl about to go run into somebody. They were like, just go. They were like, go do it in your house. Go, like, set up in a hallway. Like, you and your parents, your brother, your sister, like, get them on the other end of the hallway, just run into each other, see how it goes for you. And I was like, actually don't think I want to do that. There are plenty of things on the challenge I would love to do. I don't know if Hall Brawl is one of them, but, you know, I'm not gonna be in that situation, so it's okay.
I feel probably more decent about it than a couple of the other challenges, at least. So I am, you know, over 6 foot, so that helps. But yeah, it's not like a super appealing prospect, especially if you can avoid eliminations altogether. But I understand why someone like an Anissa, like a Fessy, is really like totally fine with the prospect of going into a Hall Brawl. Not so sure why Nani is so excited about a Hall Brawl, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Plenty to get to on that end of things. A lot of questions to be answered. I don't know if we'll be able to answer all of them, but we can do our best here. So I don't know exactly where to start here. I mean, I guess I kind of want to jump into talking about the eliminated agent of the week, Amber M, as we are going to see her on her way out. I think she already kind of brought the drama that she was going to bring for the season. I'm sure she could have brought more if she stuck around for a little bit, but what did you make this week of watching Corey just completely get her to do and act and say as he was hoping for? I mean, I don't want to take complete agency away from Amber. I'm sure she, you know, did probably somewhat want to do this. It's not like he sat there and forced her to go or whatever, but the manipulation tactics that it sounds like he used and that other people were observing seemed to be the reason that she ended up deciding that she was going to volunteer.
For sure. Like, this may have been on her radar. We've flagged it up that every week Amber M is a name that's tossed around anyway. So why not take agency over that when it's probably going to happen sooner or later? She stuck around for a decent amount of time now. So I think that, you know, a lot of these factors have added up into her being more open to it. But good on Corey for recognizing that. I don't want to be tied to Amber long term. So either I go in and get my skull. She goes in and gets her skull, maybe switches, or she goes home and I'm safe next week. So I think from Corey, like, great thinking, definitely the right line for him.
Yeah, as much of a joke as it has been made on the show, it is pretty insane that Corey is now going to be on his sixth partner after the end of, you know, presumably the next episode. Six partners, a lot to go. I mean, not all of them were, you know, anything. I mean, not many of them were anything in particular that he did. Tori, Natalie. Okay, I should have made this a game if we could name all of them off the top of our head. We still can.
I saw a meme from earlier today, so I think I would be able to do it. But all right,
then this is an activity for me. Okay, so Corey had Tori and Natalie, I think, were the first two. Amber is the most recent. Teresa was before that. That's four. Ashley Mitchell, when she came back. And there's one more. Can I get it without looking at the list? What? Nicole's and I don't know. She went home. Liv was not his partner.
I think he's going to be on.
Oh,
his
sixth yeah. Partner. Yeah. Okay. So I got them all. I got them all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
There yep, yep. So I'm sure that people are not thrilled knowing that Corey very likely could be leaving his curse on them next. Definitely not ideal for whoever. You know, that might leave extra motivation for the partners trying to stay out of elimination next week.
Yeah. Corey, I loved the, you know, confessional last week from Anissa about, you know, Corey, you never want to stand next to him because of, you know, different reasons than maybe what they used to be. So yeah, definitely interested to see how things end up playing out, who his next partner ends up being, and all that stuff. So we'll see how all that goes. But yeah, just to say goodbye to Amber here, she I think made a name for herself for sure. If she gets a call back, I will not be surprised. If she doesn't get a call, actually, I would say that I probably would be more surprised if she does not get a call than I would be if she the other way around.
I think she gets the call. I'm just trying to work out in my head if she actually makes it onto the season. Comparing her to the other rookie women so far that are left in the house, I probably put her and Gabby around the same level. I think, and maybe she's higher than like the Livs that have already gone home, and maybe even Amber B to this point, who I don't think has brought a ton to the show, but even if she's still sticking around.
But Gabby had a record-setting confessional week this week. I saw on Reddit that she had 21 confessionals, which was like the most since Jordan in the War of the Worlds 2 finale.
Wow, that is like Tony Survivor levels. So
yeah.
This is, wow, mastermind edit for Gabby confirmed.
And I definitely noticed that she was present in the episode a lot. And I feel like I've noticed a lot lately about Gabby being on screen a lot. Like, she must just be giving them what they're looking for. I mean, she, and I don't disagree that she is. I just, you look at, you know, her confessional, she's always either telling you what's going on in the game. She's good at, you know, telling things from her perspective. She's just, I don't know, she's not like the most exciting person that I've ever seen in there, but she gets the job done. I feel like she's giving them, you know, what they're looking for. And I, you know, she played a bit of a big role into this week's episode for sure. Who's to say that, you know, that's not going to continue being the case going forward. So if they're just highlighting her as much as they are, I feel like I would have Gabby above Amber, but I don't know. I wouldn't count both of them out at all. I think that this particular alliance was getting a lot of attention. I don't know. It's like there only are so many spots, right? So are they going to use, you know, all of them again? Probably not. I think Amber B is probably, you know, at the bottom of the list. I don't know. I think all of them have done well enough, though, for themselves.
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. I think that they have stood out enough, especially probably more than most of the male rookies here. So I do really like most of the female rookies that we've gotten for Gabby. It's not surprising, I guess, when you break down the episode, considering she has like a showman segment, she wins the challenge, she's involved in the political decisions and the drama, like all kind of does add up to getting such a big edit. But I didn't like feel like this was a coronation edit for Gabby, or like, I don't feel like it was too much at the same time. It still felt balanced enough.
Yeah, the showmance of it all, adding that, you know, at least we finally got that fessy kiss that we told you about last week, or I don't know, you maybe had or hadn't seen in a preview to that point, so at least we're not still waiting for that to come. The fessy kiss finally showed up, and we're all super excited about this potential new showmance. I am kidding. But So that's a thing. So if there's any, you know, I don't see them losing Fessy's number anytime soon. He still is one of their top, you know, physical competitors, even though he's pretty boring. So I don't know. I think he still has another call or two left in him. So I don't know. There could be a storyline there to continue. But that's all I have on those two for now, unless you had, you know, more commentary on the new showmans of the century.
I liked Fessy where he's talking to about how he wants Gabby to pick him because, oh, he wouldn't mind like mixing business with pleasure, when really I feel like Fessy is probably doing this with not the kissing, but the saying, would you pick me, to every woman in the house, because he seems so desperate to get away from Anissa. He mentions like four times, like, no one will let me do it. But like, I really think that that is his goal. So you know, we had him doing that with Nani early on, saying that he's really keeping his options open, like wanting people to keep him around. And so I don't think it was specifically Gabby that he is wanting to partner up with as much as anyone else than where he's currently at.
I've heard so many people, honestly, since the past couple of weeks, whether it was on the podcast, like with Anissa and Tori, or whether it was on the after show, or even on the show, I feel like people talking about how Fessy is in such a good spot because of Anissa. The fact that, you know, all of that, all of that being said, like the fact that he's not being thrown in so that he gets a chance to get a new partner, like it's putting him in a much better spot than he otherwise would have been within the house. Otherwise, he might have been, you know, the Devons or a lot of other people's very easy target. If he was like paired up with Casey still, like that would have been super easy to just be like, go get out of here.
Yeah. And even Gabby says, she's like, you're just so focused, like you're so focused on winning, you don't even care about anyone else. And he's like, I can't believe you think that about me. It's like, do you not remember what you did to Nelson? Like, you can't blame everything on being shy. Like, yeah, obviously you're gonna have that reputation to an extent, at least. Like, sure, you might like care about Corey, like he's your friend in the house, but it's not surprising that you're seen as like uber competitive at this point.
I think I want to get our next topic of discussion out of the way here. I don't think that we need to spend too much time on Nam and Lolo in here, because it just wasn't the most fun to watch personally, but we obviously will still talk about it. I want to go back in time for the two of us here talking about our potential winner picks from that mini final, where I had Lolo and Nam pretty far down the list, and I feel like every week I'm feeling better and better about it. We saw CT have a conversation where he was like, yeah, my top picks right now would be Cam and Kyle, Leroy and Casey. I have a hard time disagreeing with him on that. And then the whole rest of the episode was just the continued destruction of Nam and Lolo.
Yeah, this was really rough. Like, I had always been trying to think of teams who like were forced to be together, whether it was a rival season or elsewhere, where despite really hating each other, they had been able to figure out a way to work together. And it just doesn't seem like Lolo is going to let that happen, even if it's in her best interest to do so.
Lolo could have been paired with Natalie Eva Marie on Big Brother Celebrity, and she still would, like, that. It's just, I don't know how her Olympics, her specific Olympic sports career has gone for her. I don't know if she's ever done anything in Paris. Actually, I think she has. I feel like the recent gold medal that she ended up winning from the bobsledding team, I think she was paired up with somebody. But I have no idea what the experience on that, you know, translates to an experience like this. But playing this game as a partner, where there is two different strategies, you are bonding with two with completely different people. Obviously, Nam is out here working with Devin or CT, like making connections there. Lolo seems to be forming stuff with the Big Brother group, and I don't know, maybe some other people that we're not fully aware of. But their games have not seemed to go in the right direction, or in the same direction, I should say. They don't communicate. Lolo's looking for a husband. Nam's looking for, you know, a check to win the game or whatever. It's just, it's not worked all game long. I have a hard time seeing Lolo being able to work with anybody in this game. And I don't think that it's necessarily like me saying like, oh, she's awful, whatever. Like, it's just she's not somebody made for a game where you have to work together with, like, it would take such a special kind of partner, I think, to be able to work well with Lolo. And it just, you know, I feel for Nam that he's going through this, and I feel for Lolo that she's, you know, has to pair up. If this was any other individual season, I think she would be maybe doing better. I don't know.
Yeah, and I generally will always steer clear of framing a male-female partnership as having issues with like unrequited feelings from a woman's perspective, because generally is very overplayed on shows. But from everyone outside doing interviews and talking about it, they have also been supporting that storyline, so it's kind of hard to approach it from a different way, especially with how Lolo frames some of her like complaints with Nam, saying like, I want someone who embraces me for my flaws and all of my strengths. Like, that doesn't feel like you're talking about like a teammate there. So it's, I think if she had been paired with someone and where she didn't feel like an attraction, and or Nam had allegedly not pursued that a tiny bit off camera, then this may not be as bad as it currently is. I still don't think just because Lolo lived in Germany for a period of time means she understands what it's like to come into a show where German is your first language. Yeah. So not specifically ideal if this was not the case, but the way she's talking about it makes it feel like it is a major factor, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I agree with you. I have a hard time seeing it outside of that perspective. It just does seem like it's a big part of all of this. She's, you know, talking about how he like calls her out on her intensity and makes her feel like a bad person essentially for it. Like, she's like, you know, doing something wrong. She's like, that's just who I am. Like, there's nothing I can do to change that. And if you're gonna, you know, like shame me for it, then this is really not gonna work at all. And Nam's like, well, I haven't said anything about that in the past 3 weeks. She's like, I was like, that's such a caveat to add to the end of that. Yeah, you know, I haven't said anything in the last 3 weeks. It's like, well, you probably still hint at it after you've said it how many times before that. And I mean, again, how do I blame him for calling out her intensity? Because she is a very intense person, and this is his partner on the game. So this whole thing is just kind of a little ugly, a little hard to watch. It's like, obviously this isn't going anywhere in a good direction for them, and obviously nobody's really giving either of them a shot in elimination. Just to cut ahead again to the deliberation, where she's like crying to them essentially, like, please, like, just please, if you have it in your heart, if you have any connection with me at all, let me have the chance to go in there, and I don't care who I face, I'll face literally anybody. I need to get a new partner. I can't do this anymore. It's like, this is not good for either of them.
Yeah, well, when Lolo, was it last week, said that, like, the talking isn't her strength, like, she's not kidding. She waited until the last possible moment, and I know that that was partially because, at least partially, because Nam did not want to volunteer themselves, but when she's in the same breath saying, like, I'm a strong competitor and I know a lot of you guys are scared to go against me, but please vote me in because I hope it's a women's elimination day.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good argument. They're not going to want to help you as, like, a struggling team, but especially when doing so is going to put them at risk of going home. Like, you don't remind them of that.
Right. Yeah, was it Devin, I think, that he was saying on the podcast with Tori and Anissa that I listened to today? He was like, I don't care, Lolo, that you're an athlete. Stop. He's like, Lolo's an athlete. Corey's a father. We get it. We don't need any more. Like, we don't have to bring it up time and time again that Lolo is an athlete. Corey has a family. Darrell has a family. Everybody's got a family. Everybody, you know, he's like, it's just all, it sounds like it's just all that people talked about for so long in the game. Nani was like, you know, I don't want to go up against Lolo. Obviously from the jump, I think that I'm sure they pointed out Lolo and Natalie Anderson, of course, being like the two like top contenders going into the season. Natalie was not able to make it all the way through the season. Lolo's still there, so I'm sure that conversation has not gone away as it's gone. So I don't see much hope for her, you know, having all of this end up playing out well. I still have them very close to the bottom of my rankings of just making it either to the final. I have no idea what trajectory this could be on for them, but it's just, I know it won't be good.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that let's say every person that's left was all, you're running a final tomorrow, regardless of Gold Skulls. I still think that just sheer athletic ability is going to carry a certain amount of weight, but I understand that, like, yeah, for their dynamic as a team is atrocious. And then I don't really see a path forward, especially with their skill set being able to capitalize on, you know, the tiny chance that they would be able to both get skulls and stick together. So I don't really, I would as well put them towards the bottom, unfortunately, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what the problem was? Lolo told us that the challenge from this episode was going to determine if they had a relationship after all was said and done here, and they did not win the challenge. And that is the final straw, I guess. Nam knew. He's like, we're going to lose. This is not a, if that's what this is all about, we are not winning today. They have not won a challenge yet. So why would this one be any different? But let's jump on into the challenge of the week, Black Sand Ops. Overall thoughts here?
I liked it. I mostly because I thought this was a game that anyone had a chance at. So I really underestimated the difficulty of the puzzle, it seems. So part of me was like, all right, this is basically coming down to social game. As soon as you don't have anyone helping you find your pieces, you can't win. But especially since the puzzle proved to be pretty difficult, that mm-hmm. people really could make a comeback. And the fact that like this wasn't just like who has the biggest biceps, I really did like this challenge.
Have they had a contest on who has the biggest biceps yet? I haven't seen that episode.
I mean, basically, they had it on Big Brother this summer with, like, holding up a pole. So, like, it happens.
yes, this challenge, you know, they were digging up pieces under a bunch of torches. I mean, I like the black sand. It looks pretty cool. It's visually a cool scene that they were setting there. And, we get a lot of confessionals from different people that are finding people's pieces that they don't particularly care for, that they don't want to help in the game. Nani and Issa, everybody's finding Devin's pieces and hiding them, which didn't matter because we're going to see Devin and Gabby go on to get the win here. As you mentioned, the puzzle did seem pretty hard. CT and Big T thinking that they had it was, you know, pretty heartbreaking. The opportunity for Big T to be back in power, but I'll say it now: if Big T couldn't win, Devin ending up getting the win, I guess, is my second best case scenario, because Big T in power is like enjoyable. We're happy for her; she makes a lot of fun with it. But I will stand alone if I have to. That I enjoyed Devin's power trip.
No, I have a bunch of thoughts here. At first, it was so heartbreaking to see that it looked like the reason why Big T and CT didn't get it right was because like the smile was upside down on the totem pole.
Oh, is that what it was?
Which it seemed like it, especially like flashing back to episode one where it was like, Big T, you have the wires in the right order, but you did it completely backwards. Like, oh, Big T, like so close yet again.
Yes.
But I especially with what you said, I enjoy Devin a lot. I think that he is carrying a large part of the season. I think if he were to go home, we're really losing a lot of not as much like competitive ability on the opposing side as like the entertainment factor. And overall, he's kind of a blowhard, but that's fine. I enjoy it. where I disagree is we said when Big T did her, you know, power trip that only Big T could get away with this. And I think Devin tried and his attempt was funny, like all like the stuff was there, but he doesn't have the relationships or the reputation that was going to allow like everyone else to play along with it. So it kind of flopped for me.
Yeah, but the thing that I like about Devin is that he's like a one-man show. He doesn't need the audience. He doesn't need anybody else to be a supporting character around him. He can do it all by himself, and he's happy to. Big T did it all, you know, not to say that she didn't do it by herself or anything, but like she's able to use other people that are enjoying the show that she's obviously putting on and being entertained by it, that we get confessionals from other people that are like, this is so fun. Aren't we all having fun watching Big T in power? Devin knows that nobody else wants him there, not even his own partner. Is happy to be dealing with him in this moment, but he puts on the show anyway, and I am not having a second where I'm like, this is not fun for me. I'm sorry if that's not the case for everybody out there, but I don't know, when he gets the Big Brother Sucks VIP lounge sign going, I'm like, why is this joke still working for me? It's been weeks now. Big Brother Sucks still makes me laugh, or at least like it brings a smile to my face knowing how much he's getting under their skin. I think, you know, also of course, that like it seemed like Devin is on the outs of the house. Him and Kyle and CT, I don't know if like that whole group is on the outs, but like they're outside of the BB Alliance, the Cam group, whatever is happening there. It seems like they are, well, I mean, Kyle's obviously connected to Cam, but whatever. So the fact that Devin won, and I don't know, maybe he would have been in trouble. Who knows for sure? The fact that he was able to, you know, get power and decide of the direction of the week, add it all together. I enjoyed the episode as a result of it. I don't know. But obviously it ended up causing a lot of tension, you know, with himself and Gabby, and then a bunch of other people didn't seem to love the power trip, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy it happened. I enjoyed it. I agree. Big Brother Sucks is, you know, greatest hits at this point. I'm ready to just keep pulling it back out. But it does. What I was saying, not that I don't enjoy it, it just hits very different. Like, it's not to the level. It's a different.
It's not
enjoyment,
big
to you, even though. Yeah, it's just, even though like it's a similar, you know, shtick. It's not going the same, but overall, still like enjoyed Devin, even if Gabby very much did not. The problem was for Devin. It seemed like he was going to go around beating that drum, but obviously, like as we see in the results, like it failed so poorly. I don't know what Devin could have done in order to, like, if there's someone else he could have targeted in order to get, like, a slightly better result for himself, or was he just doomed to not getting his way at all despite winning?
Yeah, so obviously the House vote was not anywhere near what he would have hoped for. He was trying to get it to be Josh and Nani, and it seemed like maybe 4 votes went that way. 12 votes went towards the way that he was hoping that it would not go. So when he got back into that room afterwards, you know, he's like, well, damn. And Gabby's like, did you really think it? He's like, not really, but like it would have been nice. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, you know, it's just that's something that he's not going to have any control over, right? Whatever happens with that vote. Even if he had said, like I don't know, what could he have gotten his way with? If he went around saying, I want Amber and Corey to go in, maybe then they wouldn't have done it and they would have done something else, but they wouldn't have put in a Big Brother group because they still have the numbers. So I have no idea if there was any option for him to have gotten his way on that end of things. But obviously they had full control when it came down to picking the team that they get to pick. So I feel like, I don't know, I imagine you have a couple thoughts on that. I don't know if we want to get into that now. I mean,
no,
now
I do think it was... I think it was kind of inevitable for this to have happened. I really am just like saying I told you so very much to like the Jay and Teresa's and Tories and like any person that was just going along with Big Brother's plan.
Yeah,
I guess just because they present not like the most intelligent for the most part, Josh and Fessy. they, you know, it's basic numbers, so anyone really can get that together. And like, while that worked for so many people in the short term, I'm excited to see the consequences for Big Brother next season, at least, because I'm kind of resigned to them running the season now.
Yeah, I heard them talking about, you know, on the, I think it was on the podcast, about like, we all know Big Brother's game. It's not happening anymore. Like, we all know what they do. We're not letting them get that far into the season with these kind of numbers. Like, and Cam, you know, was somebody who was working with them, you know, at least up until this point in the season by some association and whatnot. So I don't know if Cam will be back next season. I don't know, like, you know, who is and who is not going to be there yet. We don't know for sure at all. We don't have any names yet because filming got pushed back a little bit, but I do imagine that they might have a tougher time. Plus, it depends on who's going to be there and whatnot. Is Casey coming back for another season? I mean, it's too early to say, but
I think she is, unfortunately. I just think they value competition too much, yeah, like these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Like, I would so much rather have like a Big T or an Amber M or someone who is like bringing a lot more to the show versus like Casey, who has 3 confessionals over the course of 8 weeks or whatever. So, you know, like, it's not interesting for television, even if you can say like, wow, the challenge is like the 5th sport. Like, I don't care. I want to watch an entertaining TV show.
Big same. I agree. Would love to not have her back next season, but we'll see how it goes. I liked the chat with after they got back to the house after, you know, going out that night, when Josh comes up to try to talk to Devin and Cam and Kyle, and Devin's like shooing him away, and Big T was the one yelling about like, if you guys fight again, they're not going to give us beer anymore. Like, you have to stop this.
It was so funny. Like, at first it was like, is this a production? No, Big T's just like over their crap. Go to bed. Guys, if you can't handle yourself, like, it was so funny.
Yeah, I mean, like, we know that this is a thing on like Big Brother, probably US and Canada, that like if they get them alcohol and it ends up not going over super well, they're probably not going to get as much or get it as often anymore. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a similar thing on the challenge. Like, if they have to keep calling in security, especially during pandemic season here, with everybody coming in with masks and stuff, and, you know, I don't know the details of how production is being tested or whatever, but they probably don't want everybody all on top of each other and you know, adding more people into the mix more than they already need to. So I wouldn't be surprised if they actually do, you know, take some alcohol away. But let's talk about the Gabby and Devin of it all decision here. So Gabby is debating the whole time, do I want to go in, do I not want to go in? She ultimately decides to not go in, but she's having a hard time because Devin is not listening to her. She says he's not even giving her a shot. I mean, from my perspective as an audience member, member, there's no reason for Devin to ever entertain the idea, especially if they don't know that it is a woman's elimination, because why would he want to go back down there right now? Like, if he has the power to keep himself out of there, Gabby, I'm so sorry to do this to you, but, like, I can't even entertain the idea of us going down there. If there's a chance that I'm about to go in for no good reason on my own double agent week, I just can't, like, why would he?
Yes, I agree, but I feel like once you get to that, like, everything makes sense when you're in the house, but once you get to that elimination, once you get to that elimination round, like, there were so many things already pointing towards it being a women's elimination. Like, I could not imagine a world in which they wanted a men's elimination to be happening while there are two female skulls left up for grabs. So, like, that felt so obvious, let alone, like, you get to Hall Brawl and, like, how wide the walls are apart seemed a lot different for when you have Fessy versus when you have Amber versus Amber. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was pretty obvious looking at the walls, at least from our perspective, that it was a women's elimination day. It seems like Devin alleges that he basically looked at Gabby. He implies that she pointed to her face, went like, I'm not messing this up, and said no thank you to Hall Brawl. Which, I mean, that's her decision. But
I just like, Devin plays the game like a scared little bitch, and like, I would also play the game like a scared little bitch who, like, if I got my gold skull, I don't want to risk the opportunity or the chance that, like, I might lose it. So I just fully understand why he would not want to even have the possibility, sure, of that happening.
But like, this felt as guaranteed as, like, they're ever going to have a chance. If he wants to, like, the 1% of him that would give, like, some leeway towards, like, oh, we'll play the game for you, Gabby, instead of 99% for me. Mm-hmm. This felt pretty safe, but I understand, you know, that 1% is what Devin's concerned about.
And then also, Gabby goes in, gets a new partner. Wasn't Devin happy that he got Gabby as a partner, because she's, you know, she's pretty good at all the stuff that they've been doing so far. She hasn't been, like, the top, you know, performer, but, you know, whatever, but she's holding her own for sure. So she goes ahead, grabs a new partner. Devin's the rogue agent. Sure, he gets safety for a week, but then, like, I don't know, maybe that would have been good. I don't even know. Maybe that's not a good point.
Yeah, he talked openly about how if he had known for sure this was a women's elimination, then, like, he would have forced Gabby to go down whether she wanted to or not. So, because in that scenario,
yeah,
he gets safety next week.
Yeah, I forget about that.
Or she gets a gold skull and she's not begging to go in. So for him to get safety, I think, is more valuable than Gabby. Like, she's strong and she's good, but there's not that many people left in the house where, like, it's a dramatic trade down,
yeah,
for him to, like, get safety for a week.
Yeah, that's fair, for sure. That is fair. And, you know, that seems to be what I do these days. I just talk things out on the podcast and realize whatever I said was not the smartest whatever. They are going to not elect for Gabby to go in. TJ literally calls, you know, I guess we're cutting ahead to the elimination now, but TJ, like, calls her out, being like, are you sure you don't want to do this? Like, you guys are pretty much the same size. It's like, in the back of his mind, you know, he knew it was a women's elimination day. He saw Amber M coming down, and he's like, you have an opportunity to come get your skull. Amber, like, it's Amber M, Gabby. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised. Like, I really feel like I get it. Amber M is Gabby's friend. They're, like, as close as you can be, at least, for having spent, you know, let's say, generously 6 weeks together, with they weren't friends for the first two, as it's been on TV, but, you know, like, relatively they're close friends. Gabby doesn't seem super keen on going into a Hall Brawl, but I feel like if you're worried about getting hurt, like, yeah, a Hall Brawl is more physical, but a Hall Brawl against Amber M sounds a lot less scary than basically anything against, like, Casey or Cam or Lolo. So
yeah.
I feel like you take the opportunity.
Yeah, I feel like a couple of them all said the same thing in post-episode things about, you know, this is the worst possible elimination that Amber M ever could have hoped for. It's just, I mean, this or, like, a pole wrestle, right? Like, it's just, it's not going to happen. There are, I'm sure, plenty of things that she would have been able to do from the eliminations that we've seen. and I feel like she's not, I wouldn't count her out in all of them. I might count her out in most of them. She is, you know, there are a couple of them that size and, you know, strength were benefiting some people, but I don't know. I think when you have Amber M down there finally, and yeah, you probably do want to go for it. So Gabby is at the moment for sure living to regret that decision. As TJ said at the end of the episode, he's like, I hope you get it because this was the time.
And it sucks, like, it, because it could feel like a, wow, like, I can't believe Fessy did that to Nelson. But to be honest, as soon as Amber M shows up and it's Hall Brawl, I'm sorry, you lost Amber M. She's dying. Like, whether you want to gain from this or you're going to let someone else, like, she's going home.
Yeah.
So it's an unfortunate reality. I don't, like, that was not the case for Nelson. So that's why Fessy going in was such a dramatic deal. Obviously, Gabby going in herself was, like, the best option on the table. I'm also a little curious why, you know, you don't want, obviously they didn't want to help Josh and Nani, which in itself was hilarious with Josh and Nani's reaction to not getting thrown in and having an easy skull handed to them. But I don't know why throwing in CT and Big T wasn't seen as an option, at least as presented on TV.
So CT and Big T, then, well, so who is that helping? Because if they heavily guess it to be a women's elimination day, they're helping Big T.
Yep. Get her skull. I mean, to be honest, like, I love Big T, but, like, how many other people is Big T beating here? And as I've said, as soon as Amber M shows up and it's Hall Brawl, like, she's going home. I'm sorry, but, like, it's happening.
Yeah.
She is the smallest person that's been on the challenge in quite some time, unfortunately. And, like, she's fun and I'll have her back, but that's the reality of the situation. So if we're saying that Gabby should have gone in because it'll help her, like, if you don't want it, then help someone in your alliance rather than throwing it at Amber B, who you're having, like, issues with. And I get that you didn't want to give it to Josh and Nani, but you're still helping someone from the other side that got their way already by voting Amber M in. At least help your friend.
Yeah, I definitely need some help from you or from anybody understanding where this Amber B pick came from, because when it happened, it just, I sat there and I was just so confused, and I think I still am. I don't know that I can really work up an explanation as to, like, oh, this is maybe what they were thinking. Like, do you have anything to help me out here of why they possibly thought this was their best move out of all of the ones on the table?
I mean, like I said, I still think, obviously, we've established Gabby's going into the best option. I don't know why Big T and CT, maybe CT said, like, I do not want to go against Corey as soon as that they knew he was going to be the vote. If they did not feel comfortable knowing it was a women's elimination. So maybe that's why Big T ultimately doesn't get her shot here. And then you're kind of left down to, I don't want to throw in my alliance, so I have to go with someone on the other side. I guess you probably could have thrown in, like, I don't know. You don't want to give it to Nani because you don't want her to get her skull. But anyone who already has her skull, their skull, is, like, going to run over Amber M like a railroad. So I guess Amber B was, like, the best available option in terms of giving Amber M a chance.
Exactly.
But
that's what I was getting at. Yeah, or that's what I was, that's what in my mind I was getting at, not what I had already been talking about. Oh, yeah, no, totally. I was just thinking, like, yeah, no, maybe if they were like, well, we want Amber M to come back because we didn't want them voted in the first place, the best opportunity for her to potentially get a win here might be against, you know, Amber B, her first elimination, untested kind of thing. Like, she's obviously bigger than Amber M, but you never know what could happen. You know, you knock somebody down in there, they get, you know, whatever, who knows. But that's not the case. She did directly hand Gabby, this is directly handed Amber B, you know, somebody who she is not quite working with, just kind of gave her a gold skull for free and was like, here you go, go on back. And now, as Casey mentioned at the top of the episode, you know, Big Brother, three of them had their skulls, and now Amber B went ahead and got hers. And, you know, as much as she was worried about whatever happened last week with Teresa, now she's got her skull. There's still one more to get, and I feel like Amber B still could be, you know, going into another elimination before the season ends. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, whatever veterans remain without a skull might want to get it from her. But, you know, she's got her skull now, so what does she have to worry about?
Yeah, good for her. I don't think that she is someone who they're going to actively target in terms of, like, people don't seem to like her that much in the house, but I don't think that it's to the point where they're going to go out of their way to get her out. But at the same time, she's not someone who people are overly threatened by. Mm-hmm. So as soon as that fifth skull is claimed, it seems like you'd rather go against Amber B than Anissa, Casey, or Cam. Yeah. So, unfortunately, if, you know, Anani still doesn't have her skull at the end, Amber's finding herself down there again at some point. But luckily for her, there's not, you know, it's Lolo, basically, who is the one that she really does not stack up well against, who's still hunting out there.
I like the moment at the end where TJ was asking Amber B who she wants to, you know, pick for her partner. And, you know, she's like, don't even finish that sentence. I'm staying with Darrell. And Corey was like looking at her like with his arms out, like ready to embrace her in a nice warm hug. And she's like, I'm not going to you. I was like, oh, that was funny. Amber B, she made me laugh. For, you know, probably the first time in two seasons of reality TV. No, but she's so nice and sweet. It's fine. We're not, you know, mad that she's here.
She's fine. Yeah, she's fine. Again, I'm still happy she got her shot on the season. But yeah. I do understand the sentiment where people are like, oh, but she's like so like fake and whatever. And I understand, like, even if she's not and she's just trying to be friends with everyone, it's that old thing of like, if you're aligned with everyone, you're not aligned with anyone. You're friends with everyone, you're not friends with everyone. And she's already proven to herself and everyone else in the house, like, she's gonna pick Big Brother. And so when she's like, I didn't betray Gabby specifically, it's like, okay, well, when Gabby versus like Josh are on the line next week, like, Gabby already knows you're not picking her, so you effectively have chosen the side. And so it's like Amber B being so nice and personable, it is not that surprising that she gets the reputation as fake, because they can't tell who she actually genuinely likes in this game.
I just hope that Amber B, you know, I don't know, I just hope that like she ends the game not like, because I don't expect her to get called back at this point, unless like, I don't know, something magical happens. But I just hope that, like, you know, A, this is a better experience for her than BB16 was, because I do think that she's like a nice person and people seem to like her.
For sure.
I don't know, whatever. But it just seems like we're, you know, not getting a whole lot out. And I always have an extra bit in my heart that's like hoping for the best for the Big Brother people until they ruin all of that for me. And I'm looking at the other Big Brother people in the season when I talk about that. But Amber hasn't quite pissed me off yet for any reason. Besides, you know, being maybe Amber B for Amber Boring. Oops, I didn't mean to say that.
oh, no.
But, you know, I think there's still room for
I agree.
Something to happen. I don't know. So.
Yeah, that's the thing is I like her fine. She is replaying like the same type of player that not even though like not she's not a Nani or a Jenna where like I enjoy them and I'm okay when they go home. Like, Amber doesn't really add a lot to the show for me, and I don't really see a lot of potential there either. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see all of a sudden she comes back next season and she's fighting or, you know, hooking on, like, nothing. She's not going to be super, super competitive. So I don't really see a world in which she, like, drastically improves as a TV character next season. So at this point, I am, you know, doors almost closed on Amber B for me in terms of wanting her back next season.
Yeah, and we've already talked about her in this episode way more than I would have ever expected to, aside from the fact that she went into that elimination. We really haven't touched in detail on Josh and Nani. We kind of touched on it here and there, but I feel like we need to get into that. That's the last thing that I at least have on my notes for the week. So obviously, after Devin was put into power, they were both thinking that they were about to go in. Josh was like pleading with everybody during the deliberation to like not make him the house vote. Like, obviously they didn't want to give Devin full power for the week, because then Devin gets to pick the opponent for Josh. So, you know, it makes sense that he didn't want to do that. And I don't want to give him credit, but I guess I have to give him credit where he was talking about how, you know, I haven't talked to everybody, but I know I have, you know, good relationships with so many of you that I'm not super worried about this or whatever he was saying to them. So he didn't really have to sweat much about the fact that he was going to get voted in by most people. So that all ended up working out, but it was very entertaining for the second time for Josh. I feel like this might even be the third time in his challenge career. And then again for Nani there, of like going, getting down there, you see them like, you know, the blood's pumping, like they're like rocking back and forth and they're ready to go. They're about to get into hall brawl. Josh has been waiting for a chance to get physical in an elimination for whatever reason, because, you know, he's a big guy. They go down there and Devin's like, yeah, Amber and Darrell. And they're like, are you kidding me?
This is so funny. Like, just peak comedy where it's, first of all, like, I understand that, like, Amber is an easier opponent. And yes, I think Nani would have smoked her in terms of this hall brawl. Mm-hmm. But Josh for the second time, like you said now, and Nani now, like, they're not usually people who are dying to get into eliminations or, like, so excited. And when they did everything they could to, like, sabotage Devin's plan, I mean, Nani and Devin said on the after show they would walk by each other in the morning, and the first thing they would say basically is like, hey, F you, like, oh, you're a piece of shit, like, right. Constantly, like, that's all they would do. And, like, while they're friendly, they're on completely opposite sides of the house, so to expect that, like, oh, I foiled your plans, now give me what I want, like, no, win it yourself, go figure it out. And so it was just such, like, an entitled, weird, bad look from the both of them this week for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a strange look for sure. This is like twice now that I expected there was a chance that Nani might be going into an elimination. I think that's just how things got set up. You know, her talking about, like, maybe wanting to go in and then it not happening. And Josh, he already got his skull, but he's out here, like, you know, expecting to be thrown in and, like, screaming, like, F you, Devin, like, when he gets not thrown in. So I don't know, it was just a very strange scenario. It's like, you know, rewatching all these past seasons of The Challenge, as I've been doing, and I'm pretty much done. I feel like by the time we talk next, I will be done. I'm really not trying to watch Total Madness. Like, it just happened and I really didn't care for it.
You don't have to.
I know, but I kind of did start, and I've been leaving it on in the background while I edit other podcasts, so it's like, you know, I'm slowly finishing it out. But point is, it's just all watching all those seasons and seeing all these people, you know, obviously trying to not go into eliminations. We have this new twist for the skulls of it all for the past two seasons. And to see somebody yell across at somebody they don't like, how'd you not put me in elimination? It's just weird. It's so wild. It's like, you know, somebody going to tribal council and yelling, like, why didn't you vote for me? Like, I don't know. It's weird. But that's the game that we have here. You know, Josh holding on to his skull for now. Who knows what's to come with him? Nani still not having hers. You know, I think we can probably expect the usual for Nani, that she will go into an elimination in about 3 weeks right before the final begins, and she will end up, you know, on her way out. So expect the usual for that. But that's really all I have for those two. Anything else for you?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's not even like, it's not that I'm like, oh, like, I want Nani against, like, Casey or against, like, that's not what I'm not rooting for Nani to, like, have this tragic ending to the season yet again. Like, I just give me, like, Nani versus Gabby. I just want to see her go against someone that is, like, at least decent competition. That's pretty much what I want from almost everyone on the show. I would like to see, you know, decent matchups mm-hmm. week to week. If you're going to throw Natalie Anderson a bone, like, I'm not going to complain. But otherwise, like, I would, you know, I want Nani to, I would love to see Nani in a final, but I don't need to see her get handed Amber M or complain about why was she not handed Amber M. And mm-hmm. so, unfortunately for Amber, like, that's the only reason I'm happy to see her go home this week, is because finally everyone can stop, like, you know, drooling over an elimination against Amber.
Yeah, and just as far as Nani goes with that, like, come on, if we're on our 10th season and we have to be, like, desperately clinging on to an Amber M elimination just to be able to win an elimination for the first time in, like, how long? Like, that's not really where we want to be in our challenge careers, but who yeah. knows? I hopped on a live for Nani, an Instagram live that she was doing yesterday, and it was funny. She was like, so many of you have been messaging me saying, like, where have you been on social media? And, like, not to be shady, but I was like, you've been off social media? I have not noticed. But apparently she's been so busy, so, like, working so much, and people were like, so, like, are you retiring from the challenge? Like, whatever. I don't know. Maybe there was, like, rumors that she said that she was going to. And she was like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do every season, but, you know, so I don't know if maybe she's planning on taking a season off or something like that. So I don't know what she's up to, but I don't know. She's busy. She's working. She was taking a social media break, which we all totally realized. Devin, did you see Devin's tweets being shady yes. towards Nani?
Yes. And Devin, like, absolutely demolished Twitter last night. Like, bow down. Had some pretty solid tweets.
Yeah, I saw I don't follow him. I don't think you do either, but I didn't see everything, but I saw a couple of them that got retweeted, and it was like, so Nani, like, you were so hyped to go into elimination against Amber. Like, what do you remember the specific wording of it? I guess I can look.
I'm trying to look right now, but Devin, stop retweeting 47 like tweets at a night. It's really not, like, fun to search through. I remember him basically, like, sarcastically calling Nani a legend and, like, wow, congrats, like, you're trying to go against the smallest woman in the history right. of the challenge. And I also saw people flagging up that, like, I think Nani has even talked about how, like, Devin's a layup and he's a joke. Meanwhile, like, her elimination record is, like, 3-8 and his is, like, 4-1 or something is what I saw online. So he definitely had some really good burns on there. I just am struggling. Here, we have Nani all fired up to go into Hall against literally the smallest person in the history of the show, .. What a legend. Like, Nani, 10 years, zero wins.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, that got a lot of engagement, that shut up, Nani, 10 years, zero wins.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know, I guess he still has a couple of people that he can use that kind of thing for. Because, like, he tries to make fun of Bananas and, you know, annoyingly for all of us, Bananas is like, dude, I have 7 wins. You haven't even, like, made it to a second final. It's like, yeah, that's true. But, like, there's other people around here that I guess he's able to use that kind of thing on and get it over with. So,
yeah.
So, you know.
Definitely fair.
Keep an eye on Devin's social media if you are interested in that sort of thing at all. Or just don't and watch him on the episodes or whatever you want to do. I also had a note here about the episode title. It was called A Clockwork Amber. Are we going back in time and are we getting spoiled from episode titles now?
I mean, I guess that really.
So,
I guess
they,
so.
They did it for Jay,
like,
right?
That was the second time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of an odd episode. I mean, I get it that Amber is a color, but I don't really see how much that relates to the episode. I also have not seen Clockwork Orange, so maybe I'm missing some very obvious reference.
This is going to be like,
and I'm assuming you have not either.
This is going to be mind blowing, but I think I have. I think I saw.
Wow.
It
because
for a guy who hates movies, and the brief time that I was studying film in high school / 5 seconds of college, I think it came up there. I couldn't tell you a thing about what happened, but as far as have I sat in front of a screen and seen it, I do think there's a good chance that that did happen in my life, but
wow.
I don't want to count on it. I don't know.
That's funny.
So yeah. But that's really it. That all that I have. Anything else in your notes that we have not covered yet?
No, not much, except that I saw there was a cut scene where Leroy and Nani brought out like a the 10
oh,
years
yeah.
ago today, I think. Yeah. So that was cool, at least, like, highlighting 10 years ago, like, during this filming cycle, I think, was, like, the first day that Nani and Leroy moved into the Real World Las Vegas house. So they've been friends consistently for 10 years. And while, like, I know that and you know that, and we get little hints of it on the show, I do really wish that that was a relationship that was highlighted a little bit more, because I think it would give a lot more context in terms of, like, why things are playing out the way that they are this season and many seasons. But if people have not seen it, I've seen it posted like on Reddit and a couple other places, so it's definitely out there. But it's like a fun little clip that the show, while I enjoy, like, it's competitive, I wish that we had more moments like that, like the partying, the, like, you know, like the mess, but also like the feel good, like, here are the relationships between these people, like, on the show instead of relegated to online.
Yeah, I mean, after all, it is a show that, you know, relies on its history to propel it forward.
Yes.
So often, and the fact that people are on their 10th season for Nani, Banana's doing 20 seasons, like Kara's on like 14, Leroy's on like 13 or 14 or whatever it is, and Nisa's on like 15 or something like that. CT, of course, like a million people out here that have done so many seasons to this point. So calling it back, I think when you like someday close the book on the challenge, whenever that is, hopefully not anytime soon. I'm still having fun here. But whenever that does happen and you look at the whole thing as a big, you know, overall product, I think those kind of things are important to see. And it's not like, you know, we had plenty of Nani and Leroy content the past couple of years as Cam and Leroy were like getting together and like that was coming in between Nani and Leroy's friendship for a bit, you know, to kind of have that moment would have been nice on the show, but I don't know, maybe they'll have like a shit you should have seen episode and maybe it'll pop in there. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, especially with it being Leroy's last season, like I feel like that would have been a nice thing to highlight. So that's like, I know Nani's not going anywhere, but Leroy is like this. I try not to think about it, but this is the last we're getting of Leroy.
But you also like don't want to throw him a party and, you know, do all that kind of stuff and say goodbye. Like he's allowed to say he's leaving and that it's over, but like you throw him a party and then he comes back next season and accepts the call, then you look kind of stupid.
Yeah, but I'll be fine. I like Leroy. Give him a party. He deserves it. Like, whatever. I understand these people all the time say they're retired when they're not. I think I believe Leroy a little more than most, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And yeah, I agree. I'll throw Leroy a party anytime after the pandemic is over. But, you know,
fair.
Works for me. But that really is all that I have for this week. Next week looks like a security breach is happening again. The last time that happened, Ashley came back.
Yes.
So I am excited to see Ashley back again on our screens. If that's not what happens, I don't want it.
I was going to ask, because that's the one time, that's the only thing at least that I saw in the preview. So if people like myself don't usually look at the previews, or there was one other thing I did notice in the episode that I'm curious if it was foreshadowing or not. So if you don't want to hear about that, I guess probably tune out now. But in the preview with that, was it security breach? Mm-hmm. They also highlighted like Lolo again, I know. And then in this challenge this week, they had Nam talk about how, oh, all of a sudden like he hurt his back or threw his back. So I'm a little worried for Nam. I don't know if he's going or if Lolo's quitting, but do you believe it's from that team that we're losing, or do you think we're not losing anyone? Someone's just coming back for no reason?
For their sake, I mean, it would be nice if one of them left. I mean, yeah. I don't want Nam to be hurt, of course, but like, if that was the case that something had to do with the, with that team, I mean, we're definitely got a lot of setup for it this week, so I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. And everybody else, like, everything else seems to be pretty stable, but like, I feel like I never count out the possibility of, I don't know, some like last minute thing, like somebody has to leave for some reason you don't expect, of like the Natalie kind of thing. I don't know. I have no idea what it could be, but I do feel like something strange is happening, because what else would be going on at this point in the game? I don't know that they need to add somebody back. So I was really kind of just taking it for what it was. I was like, all right, I'll figure it out next week. I have no idea exactly what is.
That's fair. I think if Lolo ends up walking and they get Amber M back, like, what a gift to the women remaining in the show to not have to deal with Lolo.
I don't want Amber M back. No.
I don't either, honestly, only because I don't want like some of these people to get their way and have to get to go against Amber M.
Yeah.
I guess it's really Nani left at this point. But otherwise, what? We're going to get Michi back in place of Nam? Like, I really don't know. I think we're looking at one of them coming back, to be honest.
I'm going to hope that nobody else. I mean, as much as I would love for it to be Ashley coming back again, I really feel like we can kind of close the book on the first half of the season here. We just had the halfway trailer. Like, we don't really need to do all that. We're getting towards the end. We're on a good schedule to get out of, you know, X amount of people per episode. You know, I think that all is well there, but it's the challenge, and, you know, they were shooting in a pandemic, so if something weird happened and they had to, you know, keep people around like they did with Ashley, who knows? So that is, you know, to come next week. We'll see what's happening with the security breach. But until then, that is all that I have. Do you have anything else going on in your world?
No. For now, I'm just on Twitter at Brian_Scally. And anything that I have will be tweeted out there.
Yep. I mean, pretty much making like a nightly appearance on somebody's Twitch stream these days, whoever's out there. So if anybody wants more nightly Scally content, that's where to find it. I have anything else special going on? I don't think so. I mean, I'm pretty much the same thing. Like, probably on Twitch a couple of nights a week, not on a channel that I own because I don't have that. Anybody else's Twitch streams, usually saying yes to that. And the Glee podcast still going, so there's that. Big Brother Canada's coming back soon, so there's that. Can't wait for that. But that's it, I guess, for this week. We will, I guess, catch you guys next week with the security breach in the challenge double agents. So until then, at Matt Ligori on Twitter, at Brian_Scally on Twitter, reach out to us, let us know what you think. The draft, I guess I could quickly update the draft. I believe that as far as the must-lose draft, I think that all that happened this week was I gained a point because of Amber M going home. Allie lost 1 point, but otherwise no change there. Everybody had a confessional. And Haley had a pretty good week on her end of things by Devin and Gabby both getting the win. So a couple more points added to her team, but still not a whole lot of change there. Still Scally with a commanding lead, followed by myself and Haley pretty close behind. And Colin's still in the game. So there's that. But that's really all that I have. So we will catch you guys next week. Have a good week and take care.